This is a man's world, but we won't quit. This is a man's world. She who dares wins.
Hello and welcome to This is a Man's World, the She Who Dares Wins podcast. It's 2020, folks, and I am so excited to be back. If you're new to the podcast and you're wondering what to expect, well, crazy, funny, and hopefully some entertaining stories from my world of construction over the past 13 years, combined with episodes where I have special guests who are women who are also surviving in a man's world, whether it be in their career or their hobby. We share stories and delve deep into important topics like harassment, pay disparity, and how to handle yourself in a male-dominated field. Hopefully some, if not all of that, tickles your fancy, and you'll stick with us for what I know is going to be an awesome year of podcasts. My guest this week is Shauna Doyle. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Hello.
No worries. So we should probably let the audience know how we got connected. As per usual, it's always through Instagram. But I posted a post, that sounds good, about women in construction and issues that they've come across, harassment, etc. And you shot me a message. And the reason why I was quite intrigued with you was because you said you are a tarmac truck driver. I know that's wrong. There's a special term.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't even know myself. Yeah, I drive our tar spreader machine. So, like, I don't even know what the term is. And yeah, that's it. I'm also just kind of a labourer as well. So we don't always use the tar spreading machine. It's only for big jobs. Okay. But we do quite a lot of private work. So it's driveways mainly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, you know, the machine won't fit up there, say around houses and things like that. So a lot of the time I'm wheeling a wheelbarrow of tar as well. So I also drive a wheelbarrow.
Which is very technical. But for anyone out there that's listening, and I'm trying to explain for anyone that's not into construction, so tarmac, I think they call it tarmac in America as well. So we have a lot of US
businesses. Or asphalt.
Or that's the one. Okay, perfect. So it's the huge machine where that gets put in, and then you run that machine and it comes out the back and effectively spreads it onto the road surface.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it spreads it evenly and level from behind. So it comes in through the front and out at the back. Yeah, that's great. It really.
Okay, now I want to add in there, because I used to work on housing estates and we used to get the tarmacers in. I've done roads too as well. And it is probably the hottest and I'd say kind of dirty and smelliest job in construction.
Yeah, it's not the most glamorous, definitely not. And like anyone that I've talked to that works on building sites says that like tarmac crews are all lovely and nice to be around. And then once tar arrives, like everyone just goes crazy. And like, it's so true. As soon as tar arrives, it's like a different world. Like everyone just goes mad because obviously the tar has to be hot when you lay it. Like if anything goes wrong, you're pretty much screwed. So, and sure, look, you go home smelling like tar and like you wash your hair twice, it still doesn't come out. It's not the worst smell out there, but it's also not the nicest. But yeah, it's a dirty job at the best of times.
And you're right, it's stressful because you just literally hit home to me when tarmac's due. I used to, so my job was like setting out engineer. So once the road was kind of ready, I used to do my dips to make sure that the stone's ready for the tarmac. And you're right, when the tarmac has arrived, if there was a little bit of stone missing or if things weren't up to level, like shit hit the fan. And as an engineer, I used to sweat. Like I used to be like, because also there's a lot of money. Tarmac is so expensive. I didn't realize this when I started my job. I was like, so the tarmacers want to get the tarmac down as quick as possible, but then the company that have got you in also want to make sure that they're not paying for any more tarmac than they need. So it's kind of the job where everything, it's a little bit like concrete, everything has to be put in place for the job to run smoothly. It's not something you can just go up, turn up and say, oh, let's have a cup of tea. And then when the wagons come, it's stressful.
Yeah, it can be. Luckily, we get our jobs ready ourselves a lot of the time. So, you know, once we arrive on site, we're pretty confident that everything is ready to go and it's fine. Sometimes, obviously, we do have other contractors that get it ready for us, but you always have to go the day before and just check it, because there's no point in us turning up with a couple of loads of tar and it not being right. So the whole lot just goes to waste, because if once the tar is down, you can't do anything to fix it. And sure, if the levels aren't right, you end up with puddles. And that's the whole point of tar, is that you don't have puddles or a mess around your house. Like, so yeah, everything has to be spot on before you get started, definitely.
Okay, so we know it's highly stressful. We know it's dirty and smoky. We know it's hot work. Let's just revert back. So how did you, these machines, the bigger machines are huge, and even a wheelbarrow, you know, but let's how did you get into tarmacking?
Well, our company is running now about 40 years, I think it is this year. My granddad got it started, and then my dad and uncle took it over from him. So our house is joined to the site. So my whole life, it's been on my doorstep. Okay. So growing up, I used to always be out with my granddad working on the site. You know, when I was 8, I was driving the forklift and unloading loads for delivery men and things like that. And I used to always love, going working with my dad if I could at all. And then I suppose as I got a bit older, I kind of went away from that, and I actually went into beauty, which is totally the other end of
totally the other end.
Careers. Yeah, like I couldn't be more different. And I am a true girly girl. Like when I told my friends what I was going to do, no one believes me. Everyone thinks that I work in the office and that's it. Even when I go training courses, any kind of networking event, they all just presume I work in the office, and I don't at all. I don't do anything in the office. So what happened was I traveled a bit. I had my first little boy in England, and when I was on maternity leave, decided to move home. So when my maternity leave was over, I had no job, I had no job. That's simple as. And I had to ask my dad, like, what's the crack with the business? Like, who's going to take over? So I have brothers and cousins that are male, and they have no interest really. Like, my brothers work, you know, in summer jobs and things like that, but no real interest in a career in it or, you know, getting into it fully. So he just said, Asher, look, we'll just run it into the ground. That was his answer. And I was, you know, I was like, sure, I'll take over. I've always enjoyed it. I jokingly and just kind of left it at that. Uh-huh. And then one day my dad texts me and was like, hey, are you free? Me and Alan want to have a chat with you. And I was like, God, am I in trouble? So I met them when they finished work, and they put it to me. What do you think? Do you want to give it a go? Do you want to learn from the bottom and, you know, work your way up? Just see, even give it 6 months, see what you think. So the next day I was out on site in my boots and, you know, my work gear. And I think the lads that work here, I've worked with them for years. So like they would have seen me as a child. And I know they were like, what is she doing here? So I went off with them anyway. And yeah, since then I haven't looked back. I couldn't go back to working in a salon for definite.
Right.
I love it. And I can't believe it myself.
Yeah, so, it's amazing. Yeah. To come from an industry that is completely different, but then also to have, like, it really warms my heart when I speak to women and even young girls that are starting out whose fathers have been in the industry or families have been in the industry and are just so supportive and changing it, you know, everything. Businesses used to be so and so and sons, especially in construction, and it's so nice to think that guys out there are saying, well, actually my daughter's more than capable, and I'd be proud enough to have her run a business.
And that's it. Like I can't even believe myself. Like, obviously my dad and uncle are like, I know they're always supportive, but like they've surprised me to a certain extent as well by how supportive they are and how much they get behind me with doing things. So yeah, I'm delighted now. I wouldn't change it now for anything. Even, you know, I just couldn't. I'm just back off maternity leave now as well, and I couldn't wait to get back. I could not wait to get back outside working.
From your experience side of things, you grew up knowing the business and seeing the work being done. And then when you came in, and like you say, you kind of started at the bottom and on site, did everything go as you thought it would be and how you perceive things? Or were you then exposed to other areas of the business or the industry where you were like, okay, this is a little bit shocking? Or how's that journey been for you?
I suppose realistically, I had no idea what goes into it. Right. Do you know, like, I would have just seen them coming in and out. Like, I thought my dad just drove around pricing jobs, having a great time all day. Like, I really had no idea what actually goes into it all. And even simple, like, well, what are simple things now, I suppose, of like just even how the vans and lorries work and things like that. Mm-hmm. Things like that, I just couldn't leave, you know.
Yeah, it's another world, isn't it? But it's exciting when you see what goes into not only running a business, but in a world of construction where things are fast paced. And also, like, you're a little bit alone. How did you feel with that? Obviously, the guys guess you work with know that your dad and your business, or that you're coming through. How were you treated? Because I think it's hard for people that go into family businesses, almost harder than those that don't, because there's sometimes not animosity, but like people think, oh, you know, she's only here because it's her dad's business or whatever. Yeah. Have you felt that way, or did they just embrace you? How did that
go? Thankfully, like I think I've been very lucky. I've had a very good kind of change over into it. Like the lads, like I am one of the lads. There's never been a case where, oh, take it easy on her, she's a girl, do you know? And to me, that's amazing. Because I did not want to be treated any different, do you know? Obviously, there's things I simply cannot do, you know? Just the strength alone, do you know? But that's fine, you know? And everyone gets that. It's not a big deal. But I have been very lucky. I think at the start, they were kind of like, ah, here, she's going to last a week or two, do you know? Because there's some lads that come along and are just not able for it, which is understandable because it's hard graft. Like, it is heavy, heavy work at times. But you have to start low. Like, you know, obviously at the start, I wasn't carrying as much in a wheelbarrow as I was before I went off being pregnant. You know, like it worked. You have to build it up. So I've been lucky in that sense that from the start, like, I don't feel like I've been treated different because I'm the boss's daughter. But I suppose there probably is some aspects that are, because of that, and obviously being a girl too, there are slight differences, but I don't feel like there's been a whole lot. I think it would have been different now if I went and worked for another company that maybe, you know, had loads and loads of lads working there. I think maybe then I wouldn't have had such a good adjustment.
Right.
Because we only have a couple of lads working for us. Like, there's only about 7, I think, at the moment. Okay. So, and where it is a family run business, like, they've had the time to spend, not time, but like, even the lads will take me aside and show me how to do things properly from the start. You know, there's never really, it's only once or twice I've been told, here, do that. And I'm like, what? How do I do that? How do I even go about it? Thankfully, they've helped me really, really have helped me from the start and onwards. Like, I'm still learning massively every day. I'm only doing it really 2 years, do you know?
Yeah, it's quite new. I need to, like, I mean, anything in any world of construction, doesn't matter what you do. I think, you know, I'm 13 years in and every day is still a learning curve. And that's what's that's what's so exciting about the industry. And I think that's what keeps hold of you know, lots of workers, because it's just, you know, it is something new every day.
That is it, 100%. No day is the same. Even if you're at the same job for a couple, like we're only ever for maybe a week at most, or two at one job, where we're somewhere different most days. But even that, like every day is just so different. And it's just so nice to see the job coming from the start to the finish.
Yeah.
And with our work, we can do a lot of, say, like before and after pictures for, you know, Instagram and stuff like that. And they're just so effective, because, and you get such a good feeling from that as well. At the end, you're like, geez, like we really made a difference. It looks great.
Yeah, and again, yeah, that's, you've hit the nail on the head. That's something a lot of women that I talk to say as well, is that you get to physically look at your work and see the fruits of your labour at the end of the day. But you know, the jobs, I guess you don't really always get.
No, and we get to see it from the start to the finish. You know, we don't just do bits of it, and you know, you get to see the whole finished result. Really, it's great.
Sense of pride.
Yeah. And then, like, I do also get the other side of it, where I could be out on jobs, and like, especially where it's all kind of private. So the people in the house will come out and have a chat, and they're always shocked to see a girl. Like, I've never come across another girl working here. I know, and we're only from a small enough town in Ireland. But never have I come across another girl in the construction industry yet.
I don't think I've ever come across a girl that's in tarmacking.
Yes.
Well, you're the first. Yeah. And I'm just looking here at your little picture on Skype, and I have to ask, like, you say, you know, you're quite a girly girl, you were a beautician. Like, did you adapt when you worked in construction and just thought, oh, do you know what, no makeup, blend in? Or if you just being like, hell, this is me, and turn up, you know.
It depends. Sometimes I'll arrive in and I'm tanned from head to toe. Yeah. and then the day before I could look rough as. No, like I'm very much myself still. Like when I'm out of work, at work, like men, like when we're on site, people walk by me and go, well, lads, or morning, lads. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. They don't realize I'm a girl. That's what I probably look like a 12-year-old boy. But
I'm so glad that it's not just me that feels that way.
No, I definitely get that all the time. So, yeah, I don't look like myself. Well, I suppose it is me at work now. But when I'm at home, then no, definitely makeup. I probably have stepped back a bit more. Like before, if I was going anywhere, I would have had to put makeup and, you know, the whole lot on. Whereas now, yeah, if I'm going out, I'm done up to the nines. But that's probably the only time. But then I've two kids too, so that comes into it now as well.
I feel. Let's talk about that, because one of the messages you sent was that you went through maternity as well, and my pregnancy picture does the rounds on Instagram, and you said that you were in a similar situation. So, yeah, talk us through that.
Yeah, so I've got an 8-month-old little girl now. So my little boy's 3. So when I was pregnant with him, I was working in a beauty salon.
Right.
So that was fine, you know, pregnancy, working there, no bother at all, sitting doing nails and stuff. Don't get me wrong, I felt like I was under pressure at times doing that in that environment too. But sure, look, construction and pregnancy is just totally different. Sure, no site I go to has a toilet for starters.
Because you're at clients.
So the odd person will say to you, here, if you need to use the bathroom, come in, you know. But like, I'm going in with like muddy boots and everything, like I'd have to be desperate before I do that. And most of the times I don't even get the offer. So like, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I kept going for the first few weeks and that, but it got to the point where I just had to listen to my body. And like, if I'm not driving the machine, it's all heavy work. And like, I'm used to it, and I was. So I felt like for the first while, I was like, no, like I can do this still within reason. So I did step back and kind of didn't do as much heavy lifting and stuff like that. But like women in fitness, like your body's built up for it. Like you're able to do it. But it got to a certain point then where I was just like, there's nothing I can do here on site. Like, I was doing little bits and pieces, but when you're tiring, it's all heavy lifting. It's all madness. It's all go, go, go. So even filling water drums, I couldn't lift them. So at that point, I kind of took a step back and I was pricing jobs more so and, you know, doing the running around for the lad. And even still, I'm not quite back to work fully yet. Yeah. So that's still what I'm doing. When I was pregnant, I was any job that needed the machine driven, I was still going in and driving it up until about 30 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So last January was the last time, but I ended up in hospital the night after. They told I was going into labor. And I knew then, I was like, I've just totally overdone it. Just totally. A full day of work. I was like, it's just too much. So then I totally took a step back and I was just chilling, really, waiting.
Yeah, the way it's hard, isn't it? Because you feel like, I felt a sense of almost like letting people down.
But
the reality is like your body is going, I mean, everyone's pregnancy is different, but yeah. I think everyone goes through that, you know, your body is like building a human. There's so much that goes into that. You really do have to cut yourself a break and think, actually, you know, what my body's doing and what it's going through is a huge amount to deal with.
And even you feel fine. Like, that's the tough part, I find. You feel physically like you should be able to still run barrels of tar, but obviously you have to be realistic and realise that you can't.
Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just wanted to let you know that if you want to connect with me via Instagram, YouTube or Twitter, then you can do by following the links that are in the show notes. You can also check out the She Who Dares Wins shop at www.shewhodareswins.com, where you can bag yourself some awesome, uniquely designed t-shirts. As a podcast listener, use the code NEW10 to grab yourself a 10% discount from the shop today.
So, yeah, and like that, like I felt, especially like I still had 10 weeks to go at that stage. And I was like, oh my God, I genuinely don't know how women are stay-at-home mothers. I think they're amazing.
Yeah.
I just go stir crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be. And I was missing work before I'd even started maternity leave at that point. So, yeah, when it came to it, like, I just couldn't wait to get back. And now when I go to work and I'm out on site, I feel like I'm having a break, which is mad.
No, I say that to people all the time. I'm like, people say, how do you work in construction? Like, how, and especially like if you have to manage teams or manage a project, and they're like, it must be so stressful. And I'm like, hell, I'll take 100 construction workers over one toddler.
Yeah.
Or a soft play on a rainy day.
Yeah, I go to work and I'm like, yes, I can listen to my own music on the way there. I go and I'm like, I don't have to look after anybody. This is great.
Yeah, yeah. And in some respects, it's kind of sometimes it's from my world. Going to work is also like working with toddlers. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, oh, the flip side of this. I'm like, my toddler actually behaves in a more socially acceptable way than people on site. So yeah, it's I suppose it's two worlds. Yeah, two worlds the same. So what's like a day, if we were to be sat down with a group of girls now and they were saying, right, okay, driving a tarmac machine and laying tarmac, you know, what does that involve? You said there's kind of like heavy labor, but what's like a daily schedule for you?
Gosh, it's hard to say because every day is quite different. But usually, like we'd be out on our yard at about 7:30 in the morning, get the vans ready and set off around 8:00, get to the job. And like the tar is usually like, it could be there as soon as we arrive.
Right.
So we have it down to a T of where all the equipment needs to be for different steps. And, you know, like our lads are doing it years. So they're well, like, ready for everything. So I have to get the machine sorted. So, you know, simple things like make sure it's got diesel. It has to be heated up, because if it's not hot, like the tar doesn't spread evenly and it sticks to it.
Okay.
So that's what my kind of responsibility is, I suppose. So I go in, make sure it's all hot enough. And once the machine's hot enough, we're ready to go. So I just get into place and that's it. We set off.
It's quite a quick process, isn't it? Because you have to, like, yeah, to move quite quickly with down. I'm always, if I'm on a site where there's a tarmacker, I'm always hovering over either the freshly laid tar or the guy with the heat pipe or the heat gun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, come over here. This is so nice and warm.
Yeah, that is it. Like, it is. It's great. It's great in the winter, but not so good in the summer.
Yeah, because you guys have to wear full protective, like, almost like long sleeves and long trousers.
Yeah. So, and it can be sickening now in the summer, and especially up on the machine, you get the fumes of it, right. And where it goes in the front, it comes out underneath. But like, I stand when I'm driving, I just find that it's easier to, like, my sense of direction and spatial awareness is better when I'm standing in the middle, because they're so big and they're long, like there's seats like you would a car. But for some reason, I can't drive it like that. I think every other driver does, but not me. So where I stand, the steam and the heat comes up underneath me.
Okay.
So it's very hot and it can be sickening. And that was one thing, again, when I was pregnant, I struggled with at times. I used to have to, like, try and just take a deep breath of, like, fresh air every so often, because the smell... You know, when you're pregnant, like, the smells get to you more than anything, I found anyway. And that is one thing that was a bit hard, but again, I got by it, so it was okay.
Oh, awesome. And how did you learn to drive, without sounding patronizing?
Yeah.
Machines on site are huge and, like, you know, what you drive is very specific.
From what I'm aware of anyway, there's no ticket in it, so you can't go and get your ticket driving this, that I know of. I've never come across one advertised anywhere, maybe in England or somewhere, but definitely not in Ireland. So before me, my uncle was the one that drove it. So we were tarring a driveway one year when I was fairly new to it, and he got me up on it and said to me, my aim now is that you're going to be driving this machine. And I was like, no way hell am I ever driving this thing. It just looked so complicated. There's so many different switches and, like, settings, and I was just like, there's no way I'm going to be able to drive this. But he was like, you are, and I was like, oh god, you know, scared then. So I set up with him and watched him, and I was trying to take in as much as I could, and, like, it definitely helped, without a doubt. But then there's a firm here that's quite a lot bigger than us that would have a couple of tar crews now, and they do roadways more so. So we get our tar from them. They've got a quarry and everything. So my dad rang me one day and was like, so you're going off with Fergie and his gang tomorrow? And I was like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, you're going to go and work with them for a few days. And I was like, it's hard enough going out to the lads on the first day that you know, never mind going with a new crew and new guys that you've never met before, to learn how to drive the machine. And I was just like, oh my god, what have you done to me? You've just thrown me under the bus. Like, but I was like, no, I have to do this, suck it up, come on. And went with them for a few days and just took it in, and that was it. Came back then and kind of just started driving around our yard a bit, with filling, trying to just practice. And sure, even at that, I thought, I am never going to get this. Like, but then, yeah, just practice loads, just loads and loads of practice. And I think it got to the point one day where they were like, right, Alan can't do it today. You've got to do it. And I was just like, oh my God. Uh-oh. And like you say with tar, like if it goes wrong, like sure, the whole thing is fecked. Like you're that's it. You know, you've ruined it. So yeah, there, at the start, there's a lot of pressure. And even still, like if I have an off day at all, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? But it always works out fine. Thank God.
Yeah, I love that. That you just got to go for it, haven't you? And by the sounds of it, you did, and haven't looked back since, which is incredible.
Yeah, like when I first started, one of the, you know, my dad said things to me, and I was like, "Oh, I'll try." And one of the things that stuck with me was, "Don't ever say you'll try; you'll do." So that always stuck with me. Right, I won't try; I'll do it. Because otherwise, sure, try is just a cop out, isn't it?
yeah, and then you're like, "Oh, well, I tried, but it didn't work out." That's so cool. And Shawnee, you sound like, we were talking, I think, connected through my post about, you know, inappropriate comments and stuff. And by the sounds of things, you work with a great team, exciting lads. And you come across the general public because you're dealing with them as clients. But do you have any, like, I always say on this podcast, we discuss the good, the bad and the ugly. Do you have any like funny experiences or any crazy experiences or anything that's kind of, I suppose, kicked you in the teeth and thought, oh God, why am I doing this? That come to mind that you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners?
Gosh, I don't know. I know, like, it's not major, but I know one day, and not that long ago, I was filling up the machine from the back of a lorry that was actually with the firm I went with to train. Yeah. And the fella, the lorry driver, just said to me, "Well, make sure our lads don't see you driving that. They'll start employing women." Ha ha ha. And I was just like, idiot. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I've already trained with your lads. They know I'm better than their drivers. And I was like, that's just not on, you know.
It's the comments like that. I just like, I say this to people, like, you get comments, but they're an idiots in every industry.
Yeah.
You know, people that don't think before they talk or whatever. And I think sometimes it can affect us a little bit more just because we look around and don't see any other women doing our work. So we kind of, in the past have questioned my belonging, like, oh, okay, actually, do I belong here? But you know what? Like, I'm sure you're similar to me in that with age, you just think, oh, go do one. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Because like from the start, I've kind of had a feeling of I want to prove myself.
Right.
And like I went, I've got my rigid license for driving, you know, the trucks. Yeah. And I was doing my kind of lessons and I was driving our truck with our driver. And again, up in this quarry, you know, just in and out. And the lads were all like, Jesus, she's driving the lorry. What the hell, you know? And then one day I went in myself and into the office just at the weighbridge. And they said, well, Shauna, how's the driving going? I was like, great. I passed my test. And they were like, what? Already? I was like, yeah, I did it. And they were like, Jesus, fair play to you. They were all delighted then. They were shocked, but also like, oh my God, well done. And I was like, there you go now. I'm taking this seriously. Do you know, like, I'm not just here for like the crack, like I do want to do this, you know.
I think secretly we always feel like we have to prove something.
I totally do.
And I'm hoping that will change in the future when more women come in, or I suppose there's a bit more acceptance.
Do you know, I kind of take it though as it's my way of spurring myself on, you know. Like it would be so much easier to just at times turn away and go, I'm going back to work in the salon. It's so much easier. But I'm like, no, I want to prove myself. I want to show these lads I am as good as the lads, do you know? And I get what you're saying in that we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't feel like that. But I find it as good too.
Yeah, it's empowering, isn't it? It makes you think, well, you know, if I can do this, and also, like you say, it pushes you on. So you couldn't drive a tarmac machine and a truck, and then you've done it, and it's like it spurs you on to the next thing, doesn't it? You think, well, actually, what else can I do? And I think that's an amazing thing to have in life, because then the more you accomplish, the more you strive for something else. And yeah, it's really empowering. Yeah, firmly believe that. I kind of never looked at it that way, but yeah, you're right. It's a nice positive way of looking about the challenges that you've already overcome and then what you want to go and chase in the future.
Yeah, that is it.
So what's in the future for you? Are you taking on the business, and then
that is the ultimate goal, is that I'll be running things. So from the start, I've just been learning from the bottom up, because there's no point in me taking over things but not having a clue how things actually are done properly.
Right.
So I think for now, I'm just going to continue on working, but I am hoping to more so go over to the, say, pricing and getting jobs in. Okay. So I've been doing it a bit, but I think I need to work on it a bit more, because I find when I go to jobs, often people are totally fine, but then I do also get the people that don't even listen to me. I get the kind of, you know, impression that they're like, who's this one now? You know, like, she hasn't got a clue. Yeah. And I even find that people do be trying to catch me out nearly at times.
Okay.
So that is what I'm working on now, is that hopefully sooner rather than later, I'll be taken a bit more seriously on that side of things now.
So a new challenge then, I guess, like you say, you kind of got your way in with what you're doing on the tarmac side, but then stepping over to the pricing you've got. And I think sometimes that's harder, like meeting with clients. Yeah. Because you can't tell them to feck off.
Yeah, that's it. And like with the lads that I work with every day, I feel like, you know, they get that I'm going to do as much as I can. Like, I'm not taking a step back.
Yeah.
Like, I am working as hard as I can. And the other, like, people that we work with regularly, they all see that as well, like, that I am taking it seriously, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, the people that you meet as a once off in that sort of situation. That's what I'm working on now. I don't know if it's confidence I need a bit more of or what, but I'll get there in the end.
No, I think it's a hard one, like first impressions.
Yeah.
It's a human nature, isn't it? Where you look at someone and I get it all the time. Again, it's with people that don't know me. And you can't, within a space of like 10 seconds or even like a half an hour's meeting with someone, you can't put across that you've got 13 years worth of experience in the industry, that you know what you're doing. Because, you know, if you're not talking about, which would be a bit weird if you just went in and blurt off every achievement you've ever done. And it's not fair, because guys don't have to do that. But the reality is, and this is sometimes where I sit back and I think, okay, maybe have a little bit of empathy. I think that's the wrong word, maybe. But for the person that you're meeting, in that they've never come across a woman in this position before. And then I think, well, that's down to their personality and their life experience to say, oh, actually, let me just treat her the same as I would a guy. Which you don't always get. So it's a tough one. I wish I could say that I had the answer for you. It's a confidence thing and not care what people think, which is hard when like you're trying to run business or, like you say, to a professional, to a client.
And that is it. Like, I do just try to come across as confident as I can, especially like when they're trying to catch me out. That's the one that I hate. I'm like, what are you trying to achieve here? Do you know? I know what I'm talking about. Like, if I don't have the answer, I'll get it for you. But don't try and catch me out like I am stupid. Do you know? I don't know going forward. I think that's just going to come with confidence with time as well, and just doing pricing more. Sure, that's the only way you can get by it, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the catching out thing, it's quite interesting that, do you think that's,
like a power thing, or like where do you think from coming from that?
I don't know. Yeah, because I do find the people that are like that, they're like, it's often the wife and the husband, and the wife is like fully like thinking this is great, you know, and asking all the right questions, but then the husband's there looking up into the sky and not listening, and then going, and sure, why would we do that? And you know, silly questions, and I come back with the best answer I can and as confident as I can, but you know, they're just like, you know what they're thinking. This, you know, what's she talking about? She doesn't know what she's on about, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
Do you think it's a generational thing? Because I feel like the younger guys that I work with, like don't have that attitude because they're a bit more open-minded. Whereas I think there's a, I try not to like put people in boxes, but there's a kind of age of like over 50s.
No, 100%. Like I didn't want to kind of try and generalize. Well, I find it's like, 50 plus men and generally farmers. but then it's not only them either, you know, but it's hard. But I think in time it's just gonna hopefully change. We'll have to.
Totally. Oh, I mean, like, thanks so much for chatting to me, Shauna. You've really opened my eyes up, and it's been wonderful talking to you. And I think, like I say, you're my first tarmac driver, and by the sounds of it, going to be soon, you know, running a business. And your story really is inspiring. I'm hoping there are lots of girls out there that, you know, just listen to this and think, oh, that's interesting. And that might be something that I'm good at or I want to do. Yeah, and it sounds like you're nailing every part of it and learning along the way. So, yeah, I just want to say massive thanks for coming on and having a chat with me.
Thank you for asking me. I'm delighted to be on.
And I'm going to put down in the description, if you send me your social links, and then also, if you don't mind, the company that you work for, your family business, and we'll let people go and have a look and see kind of what work you do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, one final thing I will just ask you to do is, if there is someone out there that thinks, oh, I fancy doing this, and you've inspired them, what kind of words of wisdom would you have for them?
I think just go for it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, you can always go back to your original job, but there's no point in reaching, you know, older years and thinking, oh, I wish I could have done that, or I wish I'd given it a go. You know, you'll never regret something you tried. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I think definitely do it. I could never, 4 years ago, I would never have said I'd be doing tarmac. I was totally a beautician, true and true. And I just think, go for it. If the opportunity comes up, give it a go. You just never know. You never know how things will go.
Yeah, awesome words of wisdom there. And my challenge now is to find a woman out there that's made such a big transition from beautician to tarmac driver. I think you're going to win. I can
beat that.
I don't think I'm going to beat it.
No.
Thank you so much for being a guest. You've been amazing. And I wish you all the best on the family business for the future, and keep doing what you're doing. You're incredible. And
thank you.
We'll talk soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Cheers.